It seems like a long time since we've been here and fellowshiped with you. And we missed you all. We also had a really good time away and are so grateful for the opportunity to do some traveling and to not have the day-to-day responsibilities here at the church. And so it feels like a wonderful gift from all of you to allow us to have that break. This morning, I want to talk about a question. I introduced it last Sunday and have been talking with a bunch of you about it during the week as well, and actually the week before, and that is the question, is God good? And a lot of you have responded to that. I've texted some of you have volunteered your answers to that. I've gotten responses on Facebook. And I've been encouraged by many of your responses of hearing not just the answer, but hearing how God has shown himself in your lives. I've been challenged, too, by some of the responses. There's been varied answers to it. Some with a very strong yes, some with maybe kind of a no, and others with I'm not sure sometimes. And so I don't know, when you think of the question, maybe you think it's an easy question to answer and there's just an immediate automatic response from you to that question. And that could be a good thing, that there's an immediate response, an immediate thought of what the answer is to that. It could be a sign of strong faith, and we praise God for that. I think it also could be maybe a sign that you haven't experienced maybe some of the difficulties that others in life have, if it's a quick, off-the-top-of-your-head response. Or maybe it's just church peer pressure. You ever submit to church peer pressure? You know, like somebody asks a question, you know what the answer is supposed to be, so you always give that answer even though there's something else going on in your mind. Could be some of that going on. Or rote behavior, just doing the same thing. You've said the same things, you've done the same things week after week, like singing songs about God without really even thinking about what the words are that you're actually singing, things like that. A couple weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, Doris and I went to visit some friends of ours up in Cleveland, Ohio, Brian and Susanna Miller. They've been married a little over a year. Actually, it's closing in on 2 years now. They have a almost one-year-old right now. But back in May, Brian was 2 weeks from finishing his residency as a doctor in critical care and was riding home on his bicycle on a rainy night and was hit by a car and was paralyzed from the chest down. Was a miracle that he actually survived the accident, had significant head injuries as well. His helmet was shattered, basically, his bike helmet. And so we hadn't had a chance to really see them since the accident. And so when we got back, we went up to visit them in Cleveland. And I asked them this question. So, Brian, what do you think? Is God good? And he didn't give me an immediate response. After a while, he said, you know, I think today I believe he's good. A couple days ago, he said, I wasn't there. I couldn't figure out any kind of good of all of this that's happened to me. We think of other things, the Las Vegas shootings, and we wonder, is God good? Why didn't he prevent that? Why did that have to happen? And so I think as we look at these, we have to say, this is a hard question. to ask. It's not an easy question just to come up with an answer and say, well, yes, I know what that answer is. Approached too glibly, we could be perceived anywhere from being unnecessarily offensive to unapproachably pious. I was talking with Merv about this question this week from our church here, and he mentioned the question. He said, how do we communicate God's goodness to the world around us? How do they know that God is good? How are we communicating that? Maybe you're settled on the question, but what does the world know? Does the world know that God is good? Do they know that from you? And how would they know that from you, if God is good or not? Is it enough to just say thoughts and prayers and send them your way, and that's the end of our engagement with the world or with people? Not that thoughts and prayers aren't important. Is that where we stop? How do people know that God is good in the world? My mind goes back to my brother Kent, who passed away a couple years ago after a long bout with cancer. And I remember sitting with him up in Cleveland again, Cleveland Clinic, in his hospital room. And he was struggling with this question. Why am I here? Why doesn't God heal me of this cancer that is ravaging my body? Why do I have to live in pain and agony? And probably never walk my daughter down the aisle or throw my grandchildren up in the air. Why? And he turned to me and said, too, he said, why did our dad have to die at a young age of 60? And yeah, that is young. Your perspective changes as you get older. 60 is pretty young. He said, why did that have to happen? He said, I still don't see any good in it. My dad was a faithful husband, father, grandfather, pastor of a small church, a mentor, a discipler. And he died suddenly. And I had to think just recently in the news, Hugh Hefner passed away at the age of 91. He's about the same age as my dad. My dad would have been about 90. And so I had to look at that and say, why did my dad pass away while this man lived to be 90 years old? How do I explain that? How do I explain that to myself or anyone else in my life? I read a quote by Hugh Hefner. He said, in my wildest dreams, I could not have imagined a sweeter life. You think he had it right? I wonder what he would say about it now. But why? We have these questions. Why do these things happen? My brother Kent ended up being the primary caregiver for my mother up in Michigan. And so I think he saw her struggle herself with that question. And I believe my mom, she was angry with God for quite a while about this. Her husband, faithfully serving in the church, and then he's gone. She struggled. They had just moved. He had just retired from farming, had just moved to a house out close to the lake where he had, was dreaming about just enjoying that environment after working many hard years on the farm. And within a few months of being out there, he passed away. It reminds me a little bit, if you read the book of Lamentations, where Jeremiah is speaking, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1, he says, I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. Talking about God. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again, the whole day long. Those are tough words. But you know, sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel that way. We don't understand. We ask these questions as why. I feel like in some ways I failed my brother as he was asking these tough questions. I don't know what it was. I couldn't help him with it. I couldn't communicate to him the goodness of God. I was probably somewhat struggling with some of the same questions in my own mind. But I couldn't help him settle those questions. I was afraid to even dive in to the question. And yes, I know my presence there was a way of communicating to him the love of God, but I could not help him settle the turmoil in his mind. Over the years of pastoring, I have made many pastor friends, both around here and around the country. And as we traveled the last few months, we made some more pastor friends. And it's really good to talk with other pastors and hear their stories. And you know, a lot of them are so encouraging to hear what God is doing in their churches. But sometimes the stories are troubling. And we've been to several retreat centers for pastors in particular, and the people that run those retreats talk about the broken pastors that come through the doors. They've just been beat up by the church. I'm thinking of a friend this morning who is experiencing that. So if God is good, why isn't his church good? Why aren't his people good sometimes? Hypocrites. Sometimes they call us that and sometimes they're right. So back to Merv's question. How do we communicate the truth of God's goodness? Are we communicating it? We could talk about a lot of different stories that we don't understand. Struggles in people's lives. I don't want to dwell on that too long this morning, but I think if we're going to understand the difficulty of this question, we need to understand that it is a hard question, depending on where you are in life. The single person who prays for a life companion and they never come, have they somehow missed out on God's blessing, God's goodness? The spouse who prays for their marriage to be preserved, only to have it end in divorce. Didn't God want that to succeed? The single parent who is working two jobs to provide for the needs of their children, just scraping by, or the wayward child who has rejected their parents' faith, the refugee who has no home. Any number of scenarios we could discuss that either we have experienced or our friends have experienced or people in the world are experiencing, and they're asking this question, is God good? Can you tell me, is God good? Is he really good? We need answers, and the world needs answers. And the answers are not easy. I believe this question, is God good? I believe it may be the single most important question that we'll answer in life. And yes, arguably there would be some others, but this has got to be somewhere at the core. How you honestly answer this question will determine your trajectory in life, which way you go. It will influence almost every single decision that you make, what you believe the answer is to this question. Each decision, I think, can be tracked back to your honest answer. Maybe not which dress or which shirt you buy or where you go out for lunch. But your life will reflect the truth of what you believe about this question. The amount of peace that you experience in your life is directly proportional to how much you believe God is good. Every relationship that you have is affected by where you come out on this debate. What you choose for your life work, who you marry if you so choose, how you raise your children if you have children, whether you go to church or how you get along with your neighbor or how you respond to the trouble in the world, all are significantly influenced by whether you believe God is good or not. Your joy and fulfillment in life weighs heavily on how you answer this question, and even your eternal destiny hinges on your answer to the question. Among many others, one of the best answers that I received to this question on Facebook was, "That's a good question." And that was it. That's a great response. And that's why we're going to take several weeks to answer this question from the Word of God. The answers are here. Simple yet complex and not easy. One friend told me that he used to think that he knew God was good. God is good. Until his life was shattered as he knew it. The life that he knew was shattered. And it was only at this lowest time of his life that he began to rebuild, brick by brick, the real honest truth of God's goodness. Those of you who have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, you know what he's talking about. In my experience, recently, I've been burnt out for several years. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if I knew it exactly, but that's where I've been, burnt out. And I don't know what you think of as burnt out, but I don't know, just a husk of a person in some ways. But burnt out, doing my job, but not necessarily with a lot of joy. Going through the motions, a spiritual life, yes, but pretty dry in places. Very distracted, looking in a lot of places for a lot of things. Distracted, stressed. And yeah, I know, like, I've heard it before. How can you be stressed? You only work one day a week. Like, how could a pastor be stressed? But yeah, there's stress involved. Not at peace inside, just a restlessness, a tiredness, a anxiousness, a lack of confidence. And in reality, I think, as I look at it, I was really struggling often with this question. Is God good? Can he be trusted with everything in my life? Or do I need to kind of hedge my bets a little bit in places? If he asks me to do something, can I do that and trust that he'll take care of me, or should I maybe do it with caution or hesitation? About a year ago, I crashed hard. I crashed emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And I'll tell you, I felt dangerously close to the point of no return, which eventually led us to taking a sabbatical. And we were fortunate to have the opportunity to do that. And I'll tell you what, on the sabbatical, the Lord met us there in a significant way. I saw God as I had not seen him in a long time. And there are a lot of reasons why I hadn't seen him in that way in a long time. And I hope to explore some of those in the next few weeks, because I think they're probably similar things that you've experienced or are experiencing. And I could tell you a bunch of stories from that trip, but I want to tell you one story that's significant for Doris and I. We travel a lot of different places, and one of the places that we went was in South Dakota. Custer State Park. I don't know how many have been to Custer State Park. Have you ever been there? Okay, I see one couple of hands. But to back up a little bit, we were also out in Washington State visiting, Oregon, Washington State, visiting relatives out there. In Washington State, we stayed with one of Doris's cousins for a few days and enjoyed our time there. And her cousin's husband is a hiker. We went hiking with him up to the top of a mountain, pretty extreme trail, crawling over boulders and rocks. But it was a blast. At least I thought it was. Doris, I'm not sure would say the same. But it was, by the time we got there, I think you enjoyed the view up there. But one of the things that he was telling me, this is Sean, he was talking about bighorn sheep, and he said we could see some around, possibly, because they're in the area. And he was telling me about how they're designed, really. Their paws have almost a rubbery type pad on the bottom. They can cling like to the sides of cliffs. It's amazing to watch them as they kind of make their way up cliff sides, sheer cliffs. And as he was talking about them, I was intrigued. I enjoy wildlife. It's one of the ways that I see the goodness of God, and we saw a lot of that on our trip. But I enjoy different kinds of wildlife and seeing them. Not shooting them. I don't like to kill them. I know that's a sport for some. But I like to see them in their environment. And so I kind of had in my head, you know, I hope we see some bighorn sheep somewhere on our trip. Because he just intrigued me with these bighorn sheep. And so back to Custer State Park, they had signs saying that there's bighorn sheep around in the area. And so I was, as we headed out that day, I was thinking, I hope we see some bighorn sheep today. It was a beautiful day that day. In fact, it was one of those perfect days. Once in a while they happen. And we had been staying in South Dakota there for a few days, and the weather had been hazy. There's forest fires going on, and so, in fact, smoke was everywhere. You couldn't see very far. So even to see some of the scenery, it was difficult. It was just covered with a haze of smoke. But the day we headed out to go around Custer State Park, the wind shifted and blew all the smoke out of the area. And so we woke up that day, and it was a pristine day, blue skies, and just a beautiful day to enjoy the park. And I'll show you here. I guess I have. Here's the haziness of kind of the smoke in that same area the day before. So we headed out, and we saw lots of wildlife. Buffalo all over the place on the road. This was ahead of us as we were driving. And you would pull up right beside them, and they were like right here, you know, like right by your car window. They didn't seem to care a whole lot about us being there. We saw a pronghorn off in the distance, which was cool. And if you've been to Custer State Park, you know that there are burrows there, and they love to just stick their head in your window looking for something that you could feed them. And also prairie dogs. Lots of prairie dogs along the road, and we got out, walked down through the prairie dog city, and they would stand up, you know, like that, and all start chattering to each other and warning all the ones around that we were coming. And as soon as you got fairly close, they would down in their hole. Except for this guy. This guy, I don't know what was going on with him, but everybody else was in their hole, and we walked right up to him, and he just sat there and looked at us and let Doris take a picture of him. So it was kind of fun to look at the prairie dogs, but we didn't see, it was mostly through the day here, we did not see any bighorn sheep. And Dora said, she said, I think we're going to see some today. And I had in my mind, too, I think, I don't know why, but I think we're going to see some bighorn sheep today. But as we went, it was starting to, the sun was moving along, and the day was getting long, and so we needed to head back to the place we were staying. And so we headed out of the park, and no sheep, no bighorn sheep. And as we were driving back to the place we were staying, we saw a sign, a road sign that said, Bighorn Sheep Crossing. And I was like, ah, we still have some time. And so the next 3 miles, supposed to be bighorn sheep. So we were driving. I was watching intently, trying to also watch the road as we were curving around. And I didn't see any. And then Doris was like, there's a hiking trail right there off the road. And I was a little surprised because I knew she was probably tired of hiking. It had been a long day. But she knew I wanted to see bighorn sheep. And so we pulled off and started up the side here, hiking up the side of this mountain. And as we went on, we didn't see any. We saw a deer, but no bighorn sheep. We saw animal droppings, so I'm like, I know they're here somewhere. And so, but Doris was getting tired. She said, why don't I head back? I said, well, I want to go up to the top yet and see. So she started heading back, and I hiked up to the top and looked around, no bighorn sheep. It's like, okay, well, maybe we're not going to see them today. So I turned around and hurried back because I knew she was waiting for me. And there's a story behind that. There's another time where, yeah, I did another hike like that, and I didn't tell her how long I was going to go, and she wasn't sure where I was or if I fell off a cliff or anything. But so this time I was making sure I need to be back so she knows I'm all right. And so we got in the van, and we're getting ready to head out to go back to where we were staying. And I looked the other way, and the other path, the other part of the trail, came out in a canyon to our right. I hadn't noticed it before. And so the trail went back that way as well. I had gone up the mountainside, but there was part of it that circled around and came back through the canyon. And so I said, why don't we just, we'll just walk like a little ways down that canyon and see if we see anything, and then if not, we'll go. And she was like, sure, let's do it. So we walked down this canyon, and I don't know, it was probably 5 or 10 minutes walking back there. And I heard some rocks fall down the cliffside. And I looked up, and there they were. 2 bighorn sheep plastered against the side of the cliff. And then we looked a little closer, and I don't know if you can see them on that picture. They're on there, if you can see them. You'll have to be good to pick them out. They're up towards the tree up in this area right here. And as we looked, we realized that there were not just 2, but over a dozen of them up there on the cliffs. And of course, they did this cute little pose for Doris here. She just thought this was adorable. And couldn't believe that she got a picture of them kind of kissing noses. And so anyways, there they are, bighorn sheep. And I know this story isn't probably that significant, maybe to you. It's not probably a huge miracle on the list of miracles. But for us, it was one of many small miracles on the trip where God very clearly reminded us that He is good and that He cares about every single thing in our lives, even bighorn sheep somehow. And that He directed our steps that day so that we could see His goodness. One of the interesting things about where we saw these sheep is the canyon where we saw them in. That's the name of the canyon. Now, I don't know if God had any significance to this or not, but it had significance for me. You know, sometimes you feel like you've been through hell. And God meets us there. He meets us there. Even in those times, He meets us there. It makes me think of the Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." You know, Jeremiah said those things earlier. I listed in Lamentations about how he felt like God was really laying it down on him. And if you read the story of Jeremiah, he had some things to lament. But later in that chapter, chapter 3, he says this. He says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." I can say the same. God is faithful. I don't know where you're at this morning, if you're in the midst of a valley or if you're on the mountaintop. I just know that God is faithful. And this, where this verse says, "Therefore I have hope." I bought this t-shirt before our trip from Gabrielle Stewart. She made these t-shirts for a fundraiser for her Nicaragua trip. And it's been a significant thing for me on the trip. It has become my favorite t-shirt. And we had a limited amount of clothes on our trip for, you know, I don't know if it was limited. It was limited? Okay. It seemed like a lot, too, sometimes, but anyway. But I wore this t-shirt a lot on the trip because my hope returned. My hope returned. Little by little, day by day, by the new mercies of the Lord each morning, my hope returned. I don't believe any of us really understand the goodness of God. I don't care where you are in your walk with God, we barely scratch the surface of God's goodness. I believe there are many of us who are rushing through life, and I'm one of them, searching for meaning, searching for purpose, for fulfillment. We believe many times that we know what is good, but I don't believe we have much of an idea what truly is good or even good for us. We're looking in the wrong places and using the wrong definitions. We're rushing past the fountain of living water to drink from those broken, muddy cisterns. Stagnant cisterns. And I believe that God is simply calling us to come back to the fountain. Another word from Jeremiah after his lament. He says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. To the one who seeks Him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Jeremy read this verse earlier. From James, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Psalm 100, verse 5, the psalmist ends with this statement, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations." Psalm 145, verse 9, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." Psalm 16, verse 2, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." Do you know that God is good? Do you truly know that? Not the easy answer, but the hard answer. Do you know that? I want to close with a passage from Psalms. And this is the words of David. And I like it because it reminds me of someone who knows that God is good. I don't hear a lot of people talk like this. Well, maybe some romantic couples who are engaged, and they might talk about each other like this. But I don't hear this a lot about God necessarily, and I don't know that I have told anyone myself these kinds of words. Psalm 63, David says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." Do you know that God is good? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." I don't think we have a clue, people. I don't think we have a clue. But I want to know. I want to know. So I want to close with an invitation to you. I don't know where this hits you. I know where it hits me. I don't know where it hits you. Maybe you're tired as well. Maybe you're burnt out. Maybe you're angry about a situation that you can't, that you're asking questions. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you think you've got it all figured out. Maybe you're afraid, fearful, or very, very distracted by all the things that you think are good. Maybe you feel dry or unfulfilled. I don't know. God knows where you're at. But I want to give you an invitation. And this is my main point this morning. I want to give you an invitation. And Reuben closed with it last week. Psalm 34:8. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." That's my invitation for you this morning. And so this week, figure out how to do this. What does that look like for you? What does that mean that you need to do in order to taste? Maybe you need to set some time aside out of your busy schedule and just spend some time listening and looking, reading the Word, going back over these scriptures here that I shared and thinking about what they mean and if, whether or not you believe they are true. Because I believe that if we're honest, all of us struggle with the truth of this question because things would be different in our lives. Think about what would be different if we believed 100% all the time that God is good. What would change in your life? There would be some changes, wouldn't there? 100% all the time. And so listen, go to His Word, set time aside, but I invite you to take this invitation the psalmist is putting out there. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him.